welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Oh, God's good. Hallelujah. Last time I was standing here, I preached on the theme of don't come to church. Do you remember? In fact, it was don't come to this church. Hallelujah. Don't come to church, be the church. Amen. It's not somewhere to go, it's something to be. It's something that we're part of, the body of Christ. So we're going to pick up from there. But I want to say to you that, you know, I preached that message and then obviously I went down and my dad was seriously ill. And we've been away for some time and you know that we had the funeral last Wednesday. And I want to say to you, thank you for being the church to us. Because while we were away, we got loads of texts and phone calls and cards. Nigel, bless him, arranged for my roof to be repaired. With leaving, we noticed that we had to have a bucket under a hole, and I thought, I don't know how long I'm going to be away, and whatever, but he fixed all that, and there was a food parcel for us, and a drinks parcel by the back door, and apparently a team of 8 people it was, came round to do the hedges and the grass, and everything. So it was nice to come back, not to a completely overgrown house, and so you were the church to us. You followed up that message real quick. So thank you. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to be for each other all the time, yeah? Being the church. It's the love that we have one for another that others will know that we're saved, that we are Christians, that we know the Lord. That was the big secret that God gave for evangelism, for making Jesus known. By the love you have one for another, will they know. Amen. So if as we grasp hold of that and as we demonstrate that love, I tell you, my neighbour, our neighbours, Peter and June, they've been really amazed by the number of people who've been to our house and done things for us. It's spoken to them. I mean, they've been great too. You know, they've had the keys and looked after us and everything else. But they've noticed. Praise God. Other people noticed. My family noticed. As I'd show them the sort of long lists of texts that I was getting from different people, just sharing love and sharing prayers and stuff like that, they noticed. They noticed with the church down there as they got round us and loved us. You know, we had so many cakes at the Thanksgiving, and there were people there serving and people doing the music and people just getting it all ready for us. And, you know, it was brilliant. Of course, Kate was still doing a lot of organising because you know Kate. Hallelujah. And we had an absolutely awesome Thanksgiving. It was, you know, and we were just blessed. Most of my extended family and some of my close family don't know the Lord yet. And they had never encountered a funeral like it. my mother's nephew and his wife just sort of said, never been to anything quite like that before. And I'll tell you why, because we were praising God at the funeral. We really were. The presence of God came down and different people shared and I even told a joke. But if I can get away with telling a joke at my dad's funeral, you know. But it just spoke, but we were all, you know, those of us that knew the Lord knew he really was in a better place. Amen. Absolutely and definitely and 100%ly in a better place. Hallelujah. In fact, I'll tell you the joke I told them. I probably told it here before, I can't remember, but never mind. But anyway, this guy, he's a friend of his who's opening a new business. And he thinks, I know what would be nice, I'll send her some flowers, you know, for the new business and stuff. Great new shop location she's got. And so he goes down the florist and he organises the flowers and off they go. A couple of days later, he gets the phone call from his friend saying, well, I didn't think that was very funny. And he said, well, why, what was wrong? And she said, well, the flowers you sent. He said, oh, weren't they very nice flowers? He said, no, it wasn't the flowers, she said. It was the card. The card said, with deepest sympathy on it. And he said, oh, well, okay. But then a little bit later, he nips down the florist. He said, what did you do? He said, it all went wrong for my friend. I sent flowers to my friend in business with deepest sympathy written on it. And the florist looked at him and said, oh, I'm really sorry. And then he noticed this white look come over the florist. And he says, what's wrong? He said, it's not your flower. He said, It's what happened to your flowers. He said, they went to a funeral and your card said, congratulations on your new location. But you see, in the context of the funeral, it is congratulations, Dad, on your new location. You are in a better place. Hallelujah. And God just, it was just lovely timing of everything. We were all able to be together as a family. And there was a Thursday morning before he died on the Sunday when the family, we were all, he called us all in. He'd sort of come round a bit and was quite lucid that morning. And he got the whole family round. It felt sort of patriarchal, Old Testament-ish, actually. We all got sort of round him and he gave the father's blessing over the family and sort of told us to all have a drink to celebrate when he'd gone, you know. And that was my dad. For those of you who didn't know my dad, just look this way and add a few years. That's it. Hallelujah. So praise God. To know God's faithfulness in that is just great. I'm praying now that the family just continue to, you know, want to know more than what they experienced of the love of God and the presence of God there. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So don't come to this church. I just like saying it. Be the church. Don't go to Ripon Church either. Ripon Community Church. Don't go. Just don't go. Head's still sitting down, so that's quite good. Be the church. Amen. Let's live one for another. I want to move on from don't come to church this morning to speak on do nothing. These are good. You see, you can see why the seats are getting full here now. Yeah. Don't come and do nothing. You know, as a Christian, it's normal to have an appetite for the impossible. Yeah? We want the impossible. We hunger and thirst over it. It's in our spiritual DNA to hunger for the impossibilities around us to be changed and to become possibilities. You know, there's families in Scarborough, there's families in Ripon, there's families in the towns we come from. It's impossible for that family to turn around. It's on a self-destructive route. You know, maybe the father's out drinking, maybe the mother's out whatever she's doing, the kids are on the streets, the teenagers maybe dabbling with drugs, whatever it is. There's lots of families in all sorts of ways that are heading for destruction. And actually, it's impossible for that to turn around. There's social services and health services trying to help those people, but ultimately, there's very small chance that they will get out of the situation they're in because it's like a furrow buried in the ground. It's impossible. But we hunger for impossibilities to become possibilities. We see lives like that taken, turn around and beginning to glorify the Lord and reaching out to new lives in their community. We're seeing the love of God as it touches us, touching the lives of others, so that they're no longer heading for destruction, but heading for glory. Amen? It's time to see impossibilities be possible. How's that going to happen? We're going to do nothing. As well as not coming to church. Now, the reason this is going to happen is we're part of a new generation. I don't care whether you're 6, although they're all next door now, or 60 or 106. We are a new generation. We're a new spiritual generation. You know, we talk about baby boomers and Generation X and the millennium generation. Forget all that. That's in the natural. We're a new spiritual generation that's taking a land that God has given us. That's taking hold of promises that are totally impossible and saying, actually, they're possible in God. Amen? We're a new generation that openly declares that the kingdom of God is alive and ready and available today. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus said. It's there. It's right bang in front of you. When you're talking to your neighbors and your friends and everybody else, the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? It means everything that is part of the rule and the reign of King Jesus is available to you now. You just have to grab hold of it. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, you can grab hold of what's in the kingdom by believing in Jesus and trusting in him. Amen? It's the same, actually. Praise God. Yes, we're a people that are going to declare the kingdom, the power of the kingdom. We want to know the kingdom, we want to know the king of the kingdom, and we want to see the power of the kingdom changing and affecting lives for good. Amen? That's what the church is here for. It's here for good. It's here to change our society. It's here to make England a better place to live in. Amen. We declare the gospel with our works. As people see the works, they want to know why, and we give them the answer. Amen? The ultimate work being to believe God and do nothing. It's time where we as a church are not going to make any excuses any longer for powerlessness. That's a long word, powerlessness. We're not going to make excuses for our powerlessness because there's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for being powerless. Because all the power of God is available to us. Amen, it's there. We've got it. God's presence is strong in this building, even at this moment. God is excited about what he's doing through his people in these days. You know, this week, we go into 4 special days of soaking. Yeah? The days of favor. The favor. 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 Tremendous. You say, perhaps some of you are even thinking, how can you speak of God's favor when your dad has just died at 69, which is quite young? I'll tell you why it's God's favor, because I know where he is. I'm going to see him again. Yeah, he's just gone on ahead of me for a little while. And the devil would try and say, you know, well, you better stop preaching about that healing. Are you kidding? I'm going to be doing it all the more. Amen. You know, you pick up what the enemy comes against you with, and you use it against him. So my dad died of cancer, and I tell you now, before God, before the living God, that in the name of Jesus, because of his blood, that anybody with cancer that comes across us, we're going to see victory in their lives, because cancer was defeated at the cross. The spirit of death no longer has a victory because we have the victory. And the spirits of infirmity and the spirits of death that come against us, illness that come against us, and whatever name you want to label that doctors have labeled it, it's time for it to leave bodies. Amen. There's a determination within that says, I'm not wasting this death. Because when somebody dies in the Lord, it's like a seed sown. And the seed sown from my dad dying of cancer is going to be many, many people healed of cancer. Amen. We've already seen the victory, you know, in Kate's life. She was healed of terminal cancer. Well, let's see some more, shall we? Amen. You won't see people healed unless you go and pray for them. And I've been preaching to you over the past few weeks, haven't I, about we need to go and pray for the dead to be raised. So I was sitting there on the Sunday night after my dad had died and thought, right, I've got to do what I preach, haven't I? So I looked for a time to be alone and I prayed for dad to come back from the dead. I said to the Lord, I don't want him back ill. If he's send him back totally healed. And I think I could hear my dad saying, look, leave me alone, will you? It's good here. But... Oh, Paul, just go and get on with what you're going to do. I'm staying. But I did it. Because if you don't ever pray for the dead to be raised, we'll never see the dead raised. Then we've got to practice. So it was a good chance to practice. I'm being serious. Yeah? We're going to do it, aren't we? It's no excuse for powerlessness. Because we have the power of God within us. We have the kingdom of God with us. And we're going to demonstrate that. And where we see things that don't go according to what we would like, I would like my dad healed. We were praying for the word according to that he gave to Hezekiah, where he said, I will heal you and I will give you another 15 years. That's the word dad and I were standing on. It didn't happen. We didn't see that. Except that he's got a lot more than 15 years in glory. Hallelujah. And we will spend a lot more than 15 years together in glory. And yeah, there's a huge like, hole in here. There's all those sort of things you just want to tell your dad about or say or show or and stuff like that. And that's there and it's real. It's like I didn't realize that grief was like a pain. You know, it hurts, doesn't it? And I suppose it's because I've never had a parent die before. It's like a pain in your chest. It physically hurts. And yet within it, I know the Lord's comfort and the determination. And you know, we've walked as a family about one step away from tears. All the time, even now as I'm speaking to you, I might seem jolly and happy, but I'm only one step away from tears. But in that, I'm going to see more of it. We're going to see more of it. That death will bring much fruit. That seed sown will see much fruit, and more seed, which will be sown and see more fruit, and more seed sown. Amen? Oh, it's good. God is good. Okay, last time I was here, about 6 months ago, I was talking to you, it does seem like that, I was talking about don't come to this church, I was talking to you from Acts 2, you know, the bit about they devoted themselves. What's the secret of revival? Devote yourselves to the things of God. Here it says they devoted themselves and they met together, they broke bread in their homes, they ate together, and the Lord added to their numbers daily. That's so simple, isn't it? They met together, they broke bread in their... Well, they met together in the temple, so they went to church. Put it like that. They broke bread in their homes. They were in and out one another's homes, and that's absolutely crucial because we're not an institution, we're a family. Yeah? And the other one there is, and they ate together, because when you ate together, when you eat together, not when you ate together, when you eat together, there's a sharing of life. There's a sharing of covenant. And you can... And that's the time when, you know, even if it's just four of you got together, if you've got some bread and wine, yeah, communion together. It's that kind of informality, but bringing the presence and the glory of God into everything that we do. It's because we believe that the Lord is there. He's there. Oh, hallelujah. And the Lord added to their number daily. You know, I'm passionate, I'm hungry to see people being added to the body daily. You know, and it's not because I want, well, no, it is because I want to see a big church. Let's just say it, you know. You have to sort of apologize for wanting to see people saved. No way. I want to see a big church because I want to see a lot of people saved. I want to see people saved that are added to the other churches in this town, because there is only one church in this town. That's the Church of Jesus. Amen? Oh, praise God. And where I didn't get to last time was I was going to go on to Acts chapter 3, because I wanted to share this little story, which I'm sure most of you probably know really well. But it's, for me, it's the miraculous in the ordinary life, and that's what God's releasing. Expect the miraculous. And you know, when you see miracles, it, for me, just seems so normal. And sometimes afterwards, it's hard even to believe there was a miracle, because it seems so normal that you've got the correct way of it, whatever it is, whether it's a healing. And here, there's just something happens in the very ordinary. Chapter 3, the first two words are one day. Just one ordinary day. Don't know what day it was, but one day. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. It was just an ordinary day. Peter and John said to one another, well, shall we go up to the temple to pray today? Hey, let's go up to the temple. Let's go and pray. And so they're strolling along the street together. And suddenly out of that very ordinary, walking along the street, just on one day, an episode happens that is so dramatic, it's written in the scripture. You don't know when you set out from your house whether it's one day. It could be something that happens that day that changes the world. But they don't do anything that dramatic. And yet, this story, think of how many people the following story must have inspired over the past 2,000 years. Awesome, eh? One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple. Now, a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. He was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple court. So his wasn't a one day, his was an every day. One day, a miracle happened. Every day, this man lived in misery. And there's a lot of people who we know, family and friends and people we don't even know, maybe our neighbours as well, who live in an every day. Every day they struggle with something, and they need that one day. They need that day where they encounter somebody who knows the Lord. And we're those somebodies. We are that one day for someone. And you could have a one day every day. But they're every day, they're stuck in it. Maybe you need a one day today. Maybe you need the Lord to touch your life today. Because you're going through an everyday experience of something that denies the Lordship of Christ in your life. Maybe you don't know the Lord yet. And you're sitting here wondering, what is all this? And yet there's something about the people in this room, something about what was happening in the music. Maybe you didn't even like the style of it, but there was something that spoke to you of beyond your everyday. And I tell you, this can be your one day where you come to know Jesus for the first time. This can be your one day where you receive healing. This can be your one day where you receive that job. This can be your one day where you receive the finances you need to bless others. Amen? You're very quiet today. Maybe I'm not jumping enough.
When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He asked them for what he thought they could provide. The world will come to you, or people will come to you and ask you for what they think you can provide. But look, there's something much more different than that. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us. Church, we've got to have a holy boldness and humility upon us that dares to say to people, 'Look at us.'" There's a false humility placed upon the church and the Christian world that says, we'll just sneak around in the background and we'll just bless people without them knowing. Here, Peter and John say, "Look at us." Because how's the world going to see the Lord Jesus unless they look at you? When they see Naomi, they don't see little Miss Bossy, which is what it's got written on her t-shirt, before you wonder. They will see the Lord. Naomi can say to her friends, "Look at me. I know the Lord. Do you want to know what Jesus is like? Look at me." And then, of course, there's the challenge that our lives are demonstrating the goodness of the Lord. But I tell you what, they are. Because it's by grace. Amen? Ooh. Look at us. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I don't have, but what I have I give you." And I tell you what he had, we all have. Turn to the person next to you and say, "I've got it." Hallelujah. Now turn to them again, just to get yourself in practice, and say, and don't turn to your husband or wife, that's too easy. Turn to somebody else and say, "Look at me, I've got it." "I'm it, baby." "I've got it." But I tell you, you have. Donna, you've got it. Woo. Jennifer, you've got it. Look at Jennifer, she's got it. "Look at us," he says. "What I have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And there comes one of those long theological prayers. Walk. That's a good prayer. I don't think you need to count that "in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." He's just, that's his preamble. He hasn't done that much praying yet. It's new. It's only Acts 3. Walk. You know, this is the kind of prayer we're going to need when we're with people. You can't launch into a hallelujah and pray in tongues for 5 minutes to get ready. It's just walk. And if you think, "Oh, I don't know if that's going to work," it's because you're trying to do it. And we've got to do nothing. Do nothing. Remember, don't come to church and do nothing. If we just go back a little bit, because he tells him that, and well, we're supposed to, we ought to finish the story. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I mean, that's just a complete turnaround. But that's what God's doing now. Because it, well, we'll see why he's doing it now. Let's jump back a little bit to Acts 2, verse 22, and we can see why it's happening. Peter's explaining about the coming of the Holy Spirit, but he says this, "Men of Israel," in other words, all the people listening, "listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man." Now, there's something interesting. He's talking to people that don't know God, or don't know God in the way that they can come to know him. And says, "Jesus of Nazareth was a man, accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him." This is an interesting little paragraph because it shows why it happens now. Because if Jesus did all those miracles because he was God, and he was 100% God, as well as being 100% man, he chose to place himself in that position. But as a man, he still did, or didn't do, signs and miracles. Because it says here, "which God did among you through him." And here you see, Jesus was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. So how is God going to show that he is God, he is Lord, he is Creator today? By being accredited through signs and miracles and wonders through you. Because you are human. You can't do it. You can do nothing. That's what Jesus said about it, didn't he? He himself said, I can do nothing apart from the Father. I can do nothing apart on my own if I'm away from God. The Father's going to do it through me. We can do nothing. Jesus is in heaven now. He can do it through us. But Jesus never healed anybody. Jesus never delivered anybody when he was on the earth. Jesus never worked any miracles. He was just a man. Fully man. And God did it through him. Because he believed. That's why he used to tell his disciples off. He didn't believe. And that's why he used to say it's so simple. Because you haven't got to do anything. You say, well, how do you get this believing thing? Well, you just do what it says. That's the thing. And doubts and stuff can whirl up and fight around inside you. You know, you're praying for somebody to be healed. You can be thinking, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. But haven't we taken so much comfort from the story of the disciples in the boat? Lord, save us! We're going to drown. They were praying with very little faith. And yet Jesus stood up in the boat, stilled the storm, and they were saved. I've got that kind of faith. I've at least got that kind of faith that can just pray, even within my mind, is fighting and saying, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. I'll still do it. Because I tell you what you're doing when you're fighting against that is your natural mind is saying, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. But in your spirit, because you do something, your spirit man is rising up and saying, I do believe. I don't care what's going on in my mind. I'm going to do it. My mind might shout against this, but I'm going to pray for healing. I'm going to stand for this victory. I'm going to see change in that life. I'm going to see that person saved. Because even though my mind and even the enemy might be sowing doubt and thoughts in there, my spirit man says, I believe and trust in the Lord God. Amen? And he explains a little bit more here, Peter says, which God did amongst you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on him. What's the secret of miracles and healings and salvation? It's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the message of the cross. The message of the cross is actually repentance, which is why Peter there starts to go into, which you put on the cross. This Jesus whom you put on the cross. And he's not just saying to the Jews, you put him on the cross. He's saying to everybody who has ever not done something or has done something that's apart from the Lord. It's our sin that nails Jesus to the cross. And you come to the cross and you ask for forgiveness, and he washes you and he cleanses you and says, now you walk in my favour. I will do through you. You no longer need to do. You do need one ability to serve the Lord. If you haven't got this ability, you cannot be used by God. Is it being able to play guitar? Is it playing the drums? Is it being able to do your hair nice? Is it the ability to preach? Is it the ability to raise kids? Is it the ability to love? It's none of these. The only ability you need is availability. Because God will do it through you. Are you cool about this? Oh, hallelujah. Because of this truth, we're a generation that doesn't care what the world thinks. I mean, that I bet most of you, you know, you dare to believe that God created the world. I certainly do. But you're ridiculed and on television and the newspapers for that belief. I tell you, that's just the beginning. But we're a generation that doesn't care. We're going to fight passionately, even violently. I don't mean physically violently, but you know what I mean. We're going to fight passionately and run after God with all our hearts. Yeah? We're not people of religion. Except in the good sense. We're not a people of tradition. We're just a people that love God. People full of God. Yeah? We're going to march the land carrying a banner that says Jesus. Son of the living God who heals, saves, delivers, and sets free. Amen? Have you got that appetite for the impossible? We want to see the impossible. Is it possible for people to get healed? It is. Ask any doctor. even if the doctor does sort them out, they still die someday. But there's a permanent healing in Jesus that gives you a place in eternity. But it's something you can live in now. That's the end of the story in Acts. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple. This is Acts 3, verse 10. And we were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now that's why I want to see miracles. That's why I want to see healings. That's why I'm hungry for them. That's why I'm thirsty for them. That's why I'm hungry to see the impossible be possible. It's time for impossibilities to be kicked out the door and become possibilities where we see lives changed. Because when people saw him jumping and praising God, they didn't go, ooh. They went, that's amazing, what's happening? They were interested. They were making inquiries. Sometimes you see people will say, well, it doesn't matter, you can have miracles and people won't come to know the Lord. No! Of course they will! Yes, there'll be some that ignore it and some that rationalize it and some that say, oh, that's rubbish, and some that say that that's of the devil. But there's also a whole bunch of people that will say, wow, God's real. I will find out more. Yeah. Hallelujah. And if we're called to love the world, let's love them with the miraculous as well. You know, it's all right going and looking after them, but how about they have a miracle in their lives so that they can look after others? It's time for the miraculous. It's time for people to be walking and jumping and praising God. Hallelujah. So that others sort of go, way, God is real. Amen. You can have an intellectual discussion about whether the earth was created, the universe was created in 6 days or not, and God resting on the seventh, or whether evolution is true or devolution is true. But at the end of the day, that will still be a discussion. But there will come a point when people say, well, I see God. Okay, I want to find out more about whether Genesis is right because I've seen God acting in people's lives. Amen? I mean, it's absolutely fundamental. You've got to go back to the beginning because we're being restored to the commission we were given with Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. That's why we talk about big churches and great numbers of people getting saved, because we're told to be fruitful and increase in number and to subdue the earth. In other words, to take authority over where we are and where we live to see change for good. Amen? That doesn't mean we'll see everybody saved, but then on the other hand, we might. Why limit God? It's not actually within my expectation, but God's beyond my expectation. Doesn't he say, I will do far more than you could dream or expect? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not putting God in a box. God's too big for any boxes. Whilst the beggar held on to Peter and John. A funny expression. I only noticed that this morning. I was trying to imagine him, you know, if you'd just be Peter and John for a minute. I know he's only one person. It's sort of, he must be jumping and walking. And oh, I'm with these guys. He's not worried about not getting any money now. He's got something far better. He's discovered that Jesus is alive. He's no longer on a cross. He's no longer a figment of somebody's imagination. He's alive. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished. Ah, astonished. I want the people of Scarborough to be astonished at what the Lord's doing. This was just one miracle. And they were happening all the time. They were astonished and came, but he, of course, he'd been crippled from birth and they'd all seen him. They knew it was impossible for this guy to walk. But it's the time for the impossible to become the possible, to become, wow, it's happened. Anyway, Peter saw this and said, men of Israel, again, people around us, you lot, why does this surprise you? Oh, this happens all the time. Scott is great. And people go, off the ground, walking, jumping. And Peter, why does this surprise you? Oh, Peter, why? Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? You're not cripples every day. Jump and praise. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness, we have made this man walk. So although he said to the cripple, what I have, I give you, he knows it's not something that's him personally. He knows it's the power he has because it comes straight from God the Father. As if by our own power or godliness, we make this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And off he goes again. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate. And he goes basically into the gospel. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Now, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know, oh, that's cool, isn't it? That's the miracles God wants to do, where people know that person's sick, where people know that they've got troubles, where people know about what a mess that person's life is, where people know they've got a problem with drink or drugs or anything else. People know, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and faith it is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. No wonder people were being added to their number daily. It's the other side of what we were talking about, don't come to church. Well, why are people getting saved? Was when we be the church, yes, we love one another, yes, we share with one another, yes, we're in one another's houses, yes, we're doing things for one another, yes, we're caring for one another, but with that comes the miraculous. With that comes the demonstration of God. Otherwise, we're just another social services group. It's not even our love within us that's going to reach out to those people around us, because a lot of the time you won't want to. And that's quite good, actually. If you're thinking, well, I don't feel like it, that's good. Because if you feel like it, the danger is that you'll do it in your strength. But when you say, right, this is right in God, it's a bit like when you pray for a miracle. So you reach out in love, even though within you, you don't want to, or you don't believe it's going to do anything sometimes. Then God will work through you. Just do nothing. Just be available and do everything in him. Let God be God through you. Amen. And we'll see. These are days of favor. These are days of revival. This 4 days we've got at the end of this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which isn't just for us. Obviously, it's been opened up and people are coming from different places. These 4 days are days to set aside to soak in God's presence. Amen. It's Thursday morning and Thursday night, and Friday morning and Friday night, and Saturday night and Sunday morning. Book a babysitter, get to as much of it as you can. This will be a time where together we sit and we soak in God's presence. It's not going to be a time of a lot of preaching and a lot of word, although no doubt there will be some. And God will speak prophetically to the church. God will manifest his presence in the church. And the Saturday night particularly, I think is going to be a time of healing. There'll be healing on Friday night. You say, well, why if it's a seeking God thing, and you're also talking about healing? Because if God's there, there's going to be healing. Amen. God's here now. There's healing here. This is your one day. Not your every day. Not every day the same, but the one day where God intervenes. Amen. Are you excited? Oh. Do nothing except devote ourselves. That's that word again. Devote ourselves. Amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we'll take our offering up. If you're a guest here, don't feel you have to put anything in. But I will say to you that if you do, you're sowing into good soil and what God's doing here. And you will receive. But the definite rustle of handbags. As we do that, as we sort of come to the end of the basket going round, it might be that this morning you want to respond to that word that's sort of been part of it, of today being your one day, not your every day. Every day I have pain in my knees. Well, today's the one day where God changes that. There will be all different kinds of circumstances around this room, won't there? So, once the basket's gone round, if you want to respond to that, you say, well, I'm not sure whether I believe. Well, sometimes that's why we still do the they're coming forward, and as well as praying for one another, because sometimes that coming forward is the step that says, I'm really struggling, I really don't know whether this is right or not, but I'm going to respond to what my spirit is saying. I'm going to go forward expecting God to heal me or God to touch me. We could have lots of words and knowledge and stuff like that, but I don't believe that's what God's going to do now. You come forward according to what you want. You don't have to come forward. You can receive where you are, but receive according to where your faith is. Healing, financial need. So let's stand and have the worship team forward.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.